It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective, the last show of the summer. If you wait and listen to this recording, by the time you listen to it next week, it's going to be fall. Can you believe that? Well, today we're going to look at selling your coaching services, and we're going to talk about the many different ways to sell your professional services. Is there a right or wrong way? Is there a silver bullet or a secret sauce that'll make you instantly successful? Stay tuned to hear some of the unique ways that are used to sell coaching services. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective, or our Podbeam site, dgefeller. What is the Podbeam site? Gefeller, dgefeller.podbeam.com, where you can see all of the archives, listens to all of our past shows, and hear some of the great guests that we've had in the past. Speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. You know, we've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years now under the banner of The Coaching Perspective, and helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams, and in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. In addition, we offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen a particular business skill, and communication workshops. Well, just so you know, there will be no show next week. This closes out September, but we're going to be back first Thursday of the month in October, October 3rd, with a great guest. So look for the email. We'll let you know who that's going to be and give you some advance notice. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. Well, look, let's talk about today's topic, selling your coaching services. You know, is there a right or wrong way? Is there a silver bullet or a secret sauce that'll make you instantly successful? I'm sorry, but the correct answer to both of these questions is no and yes. What I mean is that no, there is not one right or wrong way, and no, there is not a silver bullet or a secret sauce that we can all use to be successful. What I mean by yes to both of these questions is that there is a perfect way for you and you alone to sell your services. And what we're going to talk about today is some of the different ways in which people sell and how you can find one that is perfect for you. One that showcases the authentic and unique you. So let's look at the selling process from a chronological point of view today. I've kind of broken it down into six segments. One, you need to know what you're selling. Two, you need to know who you're going to sell it to. Three, you need to know where you're going to find your prospects. Four, how are you going to approach those prospects? Five, what is your sales pitch? And six, what is your follow-up? So that's kind of the way I'd like to talk about this. By the way, this is not rocket science. This is not new. There are lots of books written about this. There are as many different ways to sell, and we're going to talk about many of those today, as there are people out there selling. What I think is really important, what I hope you walk away from today's show with, is an idea that feels comfortable, that resonates with you, because that's what successful selling is all about. It's about finding a system that you're comfortable with. You know, I think the most uncomfortable period I've ever spent in my professional career was the first year after I bought my franchise for Renaissance Executive Forums. The secret sauce or the formula that they had for franchisees at that time, and you have to remember, I bought the first franchise, so this was really basically untested, but, you know, anyhow, the formula was to make 200 cold calls a day, to send out 200 letters a week, later on, we got more sophisticated. We sent out faxes, and then we sent out emails, but to send out letters. And I have to tell you, it was all I could do to get through those daily phone calls. I could not handle the fact that the majority of the people weren't there. The majority of the people, I couldn't get through to the person I wanted to talk to. When I did get through to the person I wanted to talk to, they hung up on me like I was the guy calling you at dinner time, wanting to sell you a new mortgage at a new low rate. It was painful. You know, and then we kind of moved on and we said, well, why don't we have people come to a breakfast briefing? We'll give them breakfast and we'll tell them all about executive forums and why they should belong to a CEO mastermind group. And I have to tell you, that wasn't a heck of a lot easier, because when you're cold prospecting, cold in the sense that the only criteria was we were talking to or tried to talk to a living, breathing CEO of any size company. How many of those CEOs in Orange County needed another meeting to go to? How many wanted to go to a meeting to hear about something with somebody give them a sales pitch? There were a few. We made some sales. We built some groups. But only when we were lucky enough to touch on the person that already understood what we were selling, already was looking to buy, and we happened to catch them at the right day when they were willing to make that appointment. It's not easy to sell, and sometimes it can be very painful. So let's look at coaching specifically. You know, I think coaching is a tough sell in this sense. First, what are you selling? You know, one of the things that coaches struggle with when they're starting up their business is how to explain to prospects what coaching is. And many of us have gone through that work on the elevator speech, that 30-second or 3-minute, depending who's teaching it to you, drill where somebody says, what do you do? And you feedback what coaching is all about. And, you know, the painful thing is that most coaches' response to that question involves an explanation of how they coach. Not what coaching is, but how they coach. You know, think about it. When you went to buy a car the last time, did you really ask them how they assembled the motor, how they put the wheels on, how the transmission shifted? No, you were buying a car. You knew what you wanted. You didn't care about how they put it together. It was, what kind of warranty are you giving me? Does it work? Does it get good mileage? Does it go fast? Does it look sexy? Whatever it really is. So the thing with coaching is, what is it that you're selling? I have met very few people, a few, but very few, and I certainly couldn't make a living from them, of people who already knew, understood what coaching was, decided that they needed, and were just looking for the person that fit, that they felt comfortable with, that they could hire to coach them. You know, most of the time we end up in a conversation and we have to think about, what is it we're selling? I happen to think that what you're selling is solutions. Solutions to somebody's problem. Now, if you're a career coach, you know, that sounds pretty easy. Not that the work is easy, but easy to explain. I'm going to help you in that transition from being unemployed or unhappy with what you're currently doing into what something else is, what it is you'd like to do. Maybe you know what it is, and I'm going to coach you on getting to through that transition. Maybe you don't know what it is, and I'm going to coach you on identifying what that is. But career coaches sell transition for careers. Some coaches, what they sell is dealing with stress. Some coaches, what they sell is people want a better balance in their life. I'm working too many hours. I'm not happy with my home life. I don't spend enough time at home. How do I get a better balance? You know, people talk about your niche. I'm not wild about that word, but if you want to apply it to the fact that you have identified the package of problems that you are selling a solution to, that you are going to coach around. And let's not kid ourselves. Can we coach anybody about anything? You know, that's sort of like the football coach saying, you know, I'm really good at motivating people. I'm really good at getting them to come in and practice and show up for the game. And so while I've been coaching football teams my whole career, I'm going to now go over to the Angels and be their batting coach. Probably isn't going to work real well. So my encouragement on step one of selling is to identify what it is you're selling. What is it that you are comfortable coaching people about? That what is the problem that you enjoy coaching them around? And it may be multiple, doesn't have to be just one. You know, the easier it is for you to define what that problem, the easier the subsequent steps are really going to be. Step two is, who are you going to sell it to? Who are you going to sell your coaching services to? Well, you know, if you have an existing coaching business and you're still struggling with this question, you might take a look at your current clients and see, what do they have in common? What is the profile that they fit? And maybe these are the people I should be selling to. If you don't have existing clients, or even if you do, you might want to look and say, who are the kind of people that I seem to attract? You know, who are the people that are attracted to me in a discussion that they're going to be then more open to accepting hiring me to provide them with coaching services? You know, in my case, I have a background starting up businesses, working in large corporations, selling companies, being a CEO. So who do I attract? I attract CEOs. I attract people who want to be CEOs. I attract people who want to start up companies. I attract people who want to sell their companies because they think that I will speak their language and I understand their problems. And hey, they're right. Yet that has nothing to do with my coaching them, but it's the framework of the problem we're going to work on. And the more I understand the problem, the easier it is going to be to coach them. Can you imagine the guy who has been building shoes his whole life successfully, has a successful manufacturing plant, working with leather, building shoes, saying, I'm now going to start a business where I work with metal and I build metal products. He may know nothing about the properties of metal. He's great about the properties of leather. Yes, he understands the manufacturing process, but how much easier would it be for him to stay in the niche that he knows and understands? So who am I going to sell my services to? I'm looking at who's attracted to work with me. That makes the sale easier. Can I sell to people who aren't CEOs? Can I sell to people who aren't involved in businesses? Yeah, they might buy my services. They might be comfortable with me. But one way or the other, we have to make a connection. See, here's my basic premise when it comes to coaching. We are not selling a product off the shelf that people have identified they need. Oh, guess what, dear? We're out of chocolate chips, and I have to go to the store and buy chocolate chips. There's three different brands, but I'm going to pick one of them. I know I'm here to buy chocolate chips. You know, that's not the position we're in as a coach. You know, it was wonderful when I was in the building business, and we had model home complexes, and people would come to the model home and walk in the complex, and we knew that there was only two things we needed to determine right away. Were they here because they had nothing better to do? They wanted to look at the decorating of the model homes, in which case we were very polite to them, and we welcomed them, and wonderful. Or were they here because they're looking for a new house? Their existing house is too big, too small, wrong location, whatever else. So we quickly defined what it was that they were looking for, and then do we have something to sell them? You know, if they were here looking for a maintenance-free existence where they didn't have to be bothered with a yard, where the exterior painting was done for them, and we're selling single-family detached homes without a homeowners association, we didn't have the right product. If they were here looking for a downsized house because the kids left and we're selling 5,000 square foot houses, we didn't have it. So we needed to identify early in the conversation who we're selling to. In fact, before we built the houses, we always did the market research and we sort of identified that mythical family, and we would have large discussions before we ever did anything about who is it that's going to buy our house. It is a married couple, 2.5 children. The children are in high school. The mother needs a sewing room. She doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. They need a 3-car garage. What? We went through all of this analysis to identify the profile of the person that we would then design the house for, that we would prepare the sales material for, and we would attempt to sell them. Knowing full well that that was only a small piece of the market that we would really sell to, but that was our target market. And then there were people on both sides of that market, people that were bigger, smaller, richer, poorer, larger, whatever, that also were attracted to what we are offering. The same with your coaching services. Who are you going to attract? You need to develop a target profile so that when that person walks in the door, you recognize them. Paul Roberts walked in the door. He's the producer today. I recognize him. He fits the profile of who I am looking to sell to. Okay? Somebody else walks in. They may not exactly fit the profile, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to deal with them. So figure out who you're going to sell to. Once you know who you're going to sell to, you can go to our next step, which is where do you find these people? Where do you find these people to talk to? You know, in marketing, they have a term, are you doing push marketing or pull marketing? You know, push means that you are sending information out there to the world, hoping that it will land on the person that you're going to sell to. Pull marketing means that you are making yourself available and people are going to come to you. So in the building business, most of our marketing was pull marketing. We built a model complex in your neighborhood of the homes we were going to sell, put up some signs, but people came to us. You know, that was such an easier sale rather than coaching, because you got up in the morning, you opened up the sales office, you sat there and waited for the people to come through the door, and then you went into your sales pitch. I have a home office. Nobody's coming through the door to buy my coaching services. So I have to rely more on push marketing, unless I'm going to look at my website as pull marketing and people are going to be attracted to me through my social media efforts to come to my website and buy my coaching services. You know, it was interesting. Last week at the Orange County ICF chapter meeting, we had a panel that talked about unique ways to sell your business. And really, it focused more on unique ways to find prospects. And on the panel, they talked about using a book. Author a book. Put a book out there so that people read your book and are now attracted to come to you to coach them because of the way you represented yourself in the book. We talked about using internet radio. Can you use internet radio to attract people to you to come and talk to you for your coaching services? I believe that this show attracts clients for my coaching service. Nobody's calling me up while I'm on the air saying, Doug, I want to book you for 5 hours a month. Okay. So, but it's a prospect. I'm going to identify a prospect because of this. This is my pull marketing effort. We had an individual talking about creating mastermind groups where they put together like people, CEOs or CFOs or business owners who met on some regular basis, either real or virtual meetings. And through that, they got to know the facilitator, who, once they trusted that facilitator, then sold them coaching services. We had a person on the panel that said, I'm here for those people who aren't comfortable with any of those ideas, and they hire me to go out there and market them. So they don't have to be involved in any of this whatsoever at all. At this point, you can turn off the radio broadcast and go to that type of solution. But what we're talking about is you've identified who your prospect is. You've identified where, how you're going to get in front of them. Books, radio, mastermind groups, marketing sites, internet, social media, whatever it is. Once you've done that, we're moving on to the next step. How are you going to approach these people once you have found them, once you're connecting with them? Networking seems to be one of the most logical ways to do it. And you'll find most new coaches go to all kinds of networking meetings, whether it is Toastmasters, whether it is nonprofit meeting groups, whether it is the Chamber of Commerce. But the trick is, when they go there, do they know what to do in the networking meeting? Do you know how to network? Networking is not paying for a lunch, dinner, or breakfast and just being there. Networking is going to that meeting, having done some research about who are the people there, who might I run into, what are the interests of the people in this group, how do I identify or sort out the people that might be really interested in my services from those who wouldn't be interested at all, and how do I present myself to them so that they are going to want to talk about coaching. Now, the number one rule of networking is that the first thing you do in a networking conversation, or your ultimate goal, is not to sell them anything, but it's to find a way to help them. If I meet you and we're having a networking meeting and you're talking to me about your problems in marketing, I might talk to you about using octalkradio.net as a solution for your marketing issues, okay? But I'm not going to right away try to sell you my coaching services. That wouldn't really work. This is where your elevator speech comes into play, you know? Some people think that the purpose of the elevator speech is to not tell them anything about yourself, but to really just create a curiosity that they're going to not walk away, but now engage you in a conversation. And I kind of like that, you know? If I meet somebody and I say, what do you do? And they say, I work for an insurance company. I sit behind a desk. I calculate actuarial values all day long to figure out how long you're going to live so I can figure out how much to charge you for your insurance. Oh, okay. And I move on to the next person. I know what you do. But if I meet somebody that says, you know, I spend my day figuring out how people are going to live longer, I have to say, I don't understand. What do you mean? What do you do? Are you a doctor? And we're now into a conversation, which is where you want to go in a networking meeting. You know, once you're past sort of that approaching this prospect, you may earn the right in that meeting, or more likely a subsequent meeting, to now make a sales pitch. How do you sell your services? You know, the old-fashioned way of selling was selling features and benefits. Gee whiz, you should buy this car because it has four tires, a 600-horsepower engine, and gets 50 miles to the gallon. You know, what you missed by telling me your features and benefits is you never identified what I was looking for in a car. What I was looking for is something that I can use to haul the trash to the dump and take my dog to the dog walk. It really is a truck, not any of the things you described. So today's selling methods, which is not really today's, it started maybe 15, 20 years ago. Neil Rackman wrote a great book on it called Spin Selling. And what it talks about is having a conversation with your prospect, identifying their pain or identifying what their problems are, figuring out whether you have a way of solving their problems, whether your services can solve their problems, and if so, then talking to them about how you can solve their problems. If you don't have something that solves their problems, then do you know somebody that you can refer them to that might help solve their problem. Either way, I'm looking to do a service for the individual I'm talking to. I'm looking to identify what are your issues, what are your problems, so that either I can figure out whether, hey, you know, our coaching might help you there, or I know a person you should talk to about this. That's the sales pitch. The last thing that we're talking about here today in terms of selling is, what is your follow-up? Okay? The follow-up is assuming that you just don't close a sale the first meeting. So how do you stay in touch with these people? You need what I call, what everybody calls, a SIT program, stay in touch program. And what you need to do is you need to set up a system that you can do this on a painless, regular basis. So if I meet you at a networking meeting, the first thing that you'll get from me, I get your email address. I now put you on my distribution list, and you get my weekly announcement of who are going to be the guests on this radio show. If you are a very interested person, and I've identified that you're not buying coaching services from me now, but your issues are management transition, then you're going to get emails from me once or twice a month where I may refer you to a particular radio program talking about management transition issues. Or I may send you a clipping from the Wall Street Journal or a link to a discussion on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever on Twitter talking about management transition issues. But I'm going to find some way to sort of keep my name in your face in terms of the issues that you've described to me. And how long do I do this? Forever. Until you tell me you're not interested anymore. And then periodically, I'm going to make contact with you personally. I'm going to call you up and go, hey, I've been sending you my radio announcements for a long time, haven't heard from you. How are you enjoying them? Have you listened to any of them? Never listened to them, Doug. How come? Well, we're so busy. Why are you so busy? Well, you know, I don't have any people to help. Why don't you have any people to help? Well, I just don't know where to go to find. Do you know, I know a management recruiter that could probably help you with your issue. And by the way, you know, I'd be glad to come in and we can take a look at your organizational structure. We can talk about how you work, how you delegate. Maybe this is something that we should be talking about on a regular basis. And so goes the sales pitch. So the sales process is just that. It is a process. It is not a straight line from here to there and you get there and it's done. It is a circular process. I meet you, I talk to you, you don't buy. We talk again, we stay in touch, you don't buy. We talk again, we stay in touch. Now the stars align. You're ready to solve the problem. You're ready to stop talking about it. I'm ready and have the time to work with you. We're comfortable with each other. Bang. We've sold coaching services. Not rocket science, but hey, it takes diligent follow-up work on a regular basis. And what I'm really going to say here is that you need to find the system that you are comfortable with. Do not follow what I do. Do not follow what somebody else does. Research what everybody does, but then identify, how am I comfortable with it? Some people are great at cold calls. I have a client that has a guy working for him. He can call all day long. He gets through to people. He sells them their services. He's phenomenal. After I make 10 calls, I'm through for the day. I make 10 calls, 7 people hang up on me, 1 person's rude to me. I bury my head in the sand. I don't want to talk to anybody for the rest of the day. I'm grouchy. I can't handle the rejection. So that system doesn't work for me. But hey, tell me I can go talk to 300 people at a meeting about what coaching is, or serving on a board of directors, or using internet radio to generate prospects. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. I get excited about it. I'm energized. So that's what we're talking about today, selling your coaching services. Just briefly, you need to know what you're selling, who you're selling it to, how you're going to find those prospects, what you're going to do when you meet them, what's your sales pitch, and what's your follow-up program once you've done that. Well, we've talked about the radio show. Next week, we're not on the air. We're taking a break. We'll be back the first week in October. You just missed the September meeting for the ICF chapter, but the first Thursday of October, there will be another meeting. So I'll have that announcement, and you can follow up on that. That's it for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate you listening. Hope that you've enjoyed the show. Hope that the discussion has given you some perspective on old issues, maybe presented some new ideas, and given you information that you can use right now today to identify and achieve your goals. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a different look at business, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach and sometimes comedian Doug Gefeller, right here on octalkradio.net.